Are you enjoying this summer? Are you? Are you enjoying it? I mean, I love summer. I would say that summer is definitely my favorite season. I love the idea that I can get out yard in my yard and I can do some gardening. And I'm one of those weirdos that loves to mow. It's kind of like the same reason why I love to vacuum. It just makes everything just one level and nice. And I'm kind of compulsive that way. So John a lot of times says to me, it doesn't even need it. I'm like, I need it. I need it. I need to mow. It doesn't need it, but I need it. So it's just the way it is. So I love summer because I think that there's this feeling of freedom that kind of comes along with summer. It just has a different feel to it, I think. And I think that's probably because we live in Illinois. You know, that's probably part of it. The idea that we're not all bundled up like all winter. You know, if you have kids, man, I feel for you. Whenever I'm with my daughter-in-law, my daughter, and I watch what they have to go through to put kids in car seats, I'm like, God bless you. You know, you take them out with a coat, put them in, take the coat off so that the car seat fits them right, and then you have to put the coat back on before you go somewhere. That's a nightmare, and I feel sorry for parents. It's like, you know, my kids grew up in the era when car seats were just starting. You know, the 83, 87. We still did it because we were one of those radical, got to do everything right kind of people. But I remember my father-in-law saying, this is ridiculous. You know, this is just crazy because he grew up in the era where you know, the car seat that you had was your mom's arm. That was it. That's all you had. You know, you were just like praying that you made it. And, you know, you laid in the back window. I mean, I remember driving in like an old station wagon. You sit backwards right there. The car, if it hit you, you're dead for sure. I mean, wasn't never going to make it. So, but you know, the thing is, we definitely feel all bundled up, I think, and all bound up all winter. And I think that summer comes along and we're like, wow, this just has a different feel to it. There's just something different. So like I said, it's my favorite season. I think because there's probably long days. I mean, isn't it great? You get up at like 5 o'clock, the sun's already shining, getting ready to, you know, come out, and it's there so long at night. I mean, you just have so much more time to accomplish the things that you want to. I mean, obviously, you know, you think about the idea that there's so much of a difference outside. You know, if you look at winter, all you see is brown, gray, and white, right? That's it. Summer comes along, spring, summer, all of a sudden you have blue skies, you know, the white clouds are so pretty, and, you know, the green grass that I love to mow, and flowers everywhere, and all these different, like, colors that you see. Obviously, there's a big difference, like I say, what we can accomplish, what we can do. You know, there's cookouts, there's swimming. I mean, no one's swimming in the middle of winter. It ain't going to happen, so if you like to swim, you're waiting for a while. You know, you can go to the drive-in. You can go to carnivals and fairs. All those things exist in the summer. You don't have any of that in the winter. So it's just a different feel all around. Besides that, there's vacations. There's vacations that you can have. Hopefully, you guys all get one at some point. We don't get a very big one, but actually, my husband this week is going to take his very first alone camping trip. He's going to go tent camping on his own. He says, because I don't like to go. I said, I do like to camp. But I get one vacation for like 3 days, and I don't want to camp on those 3 days. That's all. You know, if I got like 6 vacations, I'd do tent camping one of the times, no doubt. But I ain't going to take the one that I get and tent camp and not have a bathroom. No way. Not going to happen. So he's going to do that this week, so he's going to enjoy it. He's going to get some peace and quiet. He's only going to take the dog with him, so he's going to have a great time. So, no women. I said to him, don't be taking any with you. He goes, who would I want to take with me? Seriously. You think I'd ever want to take another woman with me? No way. I'm going to go away to not listen to a woman for a week. So that's what he's looking for. So, you know, I think summer has this potential feel, doesn't it? When summer begins, I always feel like there's so much potential. Like, what can we accomplish this summer? What can we do that's fun this summer? A lot of times it doesn't happen, but, you know, you have all this time, though, it feels like, that you can do all the things that you wanted to do, like swim, bike, camp, hang out with your friends longer, do all these fun things. But I think, you know, when we were kids, when vacation would come along, man, it was a lot different than it is now as adults, isn't it? Man, I remember being, do you guys remember getting the first day of summer? Getting out of school? That feeling was glorious. I mean, you just felt like you had all the time in the world. You just thought summer was going to last forever, and you didn't realize how quickly it was going to go, and that it wasn't actually really that long. It just felt long, you know, when you're a kid. I think we realize now that summer is like that. It comes and goes so fast. I think summer always feels like it can't get here quick enough, but then poof, it's gone. And I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to the stores lately, but did you see they already have the school supplies out? It's just to really tear you kids down. It's just what it's there for. It's for you to look and say, yeah, we're coming. School is coming. You're going back. It's not going to be very long. But the truth is, summer really isn't that long because it actually begins on the June 21st and it ends on September 21st. So that's official. So it's really not that long. Not when you think of how long winter is. Winter drags on forever and forever. Now, some of you guys out there might be those weird people that say, no, I'm glad summer's going to be over. I like winter. I like it. And it's like, you know what? I think you're crazy. But it's you. You be you. I'll be me. You know, there's some people that say, man, I'm tired of the heat. I'm tired of mowing. I'm tired of all that. I can't stand it no more. And, you know, I just want to remind you that soon enough, you're going to be sitting in your house shivering, bundled up in the cold, and you're going to be wistful and thinking back on summer. And you're going to be talking about summer like it's your old lost friend. Hey, do you remember summer? Do you remember summer? Summer was great, wasn't he? He was great. That's what happens. But you know, the thing is that we have to remember that summer is really short. And it kind of got me thinking about like me, because I love to garden. I love to grow things. I love plants. I love flowers. I love to plant the garden and do all those things. It's just fun for me to see it. And I love sharing that with my grandkids. But you know, we have a very short growing season, don't we? When you think about it, it's very short. This idea that we have to grow what it is that we want to grow. You know, I think as Christians, when I was thinking about this idea of the growing season, I was thinking, this could preach. This could be a good message. Because I think what happens a lot of times, we can talk about the harvest a lot as Christians. We talk about the end where we have all this fruit that we harvest. But a lot of times we don't think about the growing season. You know, that we have a time that we have to grow, that we have to work on what it is that we're going to harvest someday. You know, I think farmers definitely know, especially here in, you know, north central Illinois, that the growing season is very short. It's like 170 days on average. So when you think about that, that's not very, very long at all. This idea that you have to prep the soil, you have to plant the seeds, you have to keep the weeds away, you know, you have to water, and then you have to hope for a good yield. You have to do all those things to try to get what it is that you want at the end. You can't just think it's going to happen on its own. It doesn't. It actually takes a lot of hard work to garden and to farm. It's a lot more to it than what we think. You know, I think to be a good farmer, you have to probably have some faith, you know, hard work and some faith. Maybe hard work and more faith, or maybe more faith and less hard work. I don't know, but it has to be both. It has to be this idea that you're going to try and have hopes that someday you're going to have a great yield. I think if you didn't have hope, you probably wouldn't plant the next year. It'd be like, no, it didn't do good, so I'm not doing it the next year. You would just give up. But I think we have to understand that that same idea of hard work and having faith is exactly what we all need in our faith to grow also. We have to put in hard work, but we also have to have faith that something's going to happen out of that hard work. That when we get to the end, that there's going to be something there that we're going to reap, that we're going to have something there that we're going to say, yes, this is what I have for all the hard work I did. I think we who are followers of Jesus and, you know, are in this season of our lives, it's what we're actually going to do with the time that we're given and how we're going to take care of things that determines the outcome of what it is that we're ultimately going to yield for ourselves and for those around us, those people that we love and care for, those people who we would say that are important to us, you know, maybe our children or our moms and dads or cousins or friends, all those people. How we live out this growing season is how what's going to make a difference in how those people ultimately are going to end up too. So in farming terms, we've heard this before. We've heard it many, many times. One is that you can't reap what you don't sow, right? You can't. You can't reap what you don't sow. So you have to sow things into your life to be able to reap them eventually. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. It's not that hard to figure out. The more we plant into our lives, the more we will get back from our lives. So the seeds, obviously, is what's planted in our hearts and in the hearts of others who we share with. You know, all of it is determined by how much we nurture it, how much we help it to grow. That's what's going to make the difference in what it is that we're going to yield and what we're going to harvest someday. I think a lot of times is what we do, we have this experience of summer, this growing season. I think what we do a lot of times is we kind of look at it like kids did. You know, like kids did when they're getting out of school. You know, kind of like the idea of thinking that we're going to have all the time of the world. You know, that it's going to be a lot longer than it really is, that we're going to have more time to grow. If I don't do it today, don't worry, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, if I don't do it next month, maybe I'll do it next month instead. See, the idea is that we have to realize, just like farming, that the season is short, and none of us really know how short it's really going to be. So it's important for you to today, to actually try to grow yourself. That's why it's so important. That's why we're always trying to tell you to do something with your faith, not just sit here. Try to get a little bit out of what we're doing and then go home and be yourself. It's important for you to daily do something in your faith. You know, the thing is, if we kind of look at this season as like summer mode, you know, freedom, don't have to do anything on our faith. We can just take it easy, you know, live and have fun, eat, drink, be merry, you know. You know, when winter comes, we're going to go inside, we're going to take care of it. Understand, it may be too late. Soon enough, there's going to be a chill in the air, isn't there? You're going to get up one morning soon. You're going to be like thinking, wow, that happened quick. You're going to get up and it's going to be that little bit cold, brisk morning. You're going to think, wow, fall's definitely here and winter's not far behind. So we have to understand that we have to look at our time as something that we need to manage, something that we need to actually care for and work on instead of just looking, thinking, you know, tomorrow. If we don't, we're going to be surprised by the lack of what we yield. We're going to be surprised. We're going to say, wow, that's all I got? You could get to the end and think, this is not much. I don't really have that much faith. I don't really have that many people around me who come to know you, God, because I didn't do my job. Or maybe your faith will be very shallow, and it's never going to grow deep where it gets that deep roots where you think, no matter what happens in this world, I have Jesus. And that's what matters. Well, Proverbs 6:6-11 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. You know, obviously that scripture is about hard work. The idea that you have to put in some effort, some energy, and, you know, providing for yourself is what that's saying. You know, if there's an opportunity to work, we should work. And it translates well. But it also translates well when you think about working on your faith. Not just your job and making money so that you can put something aside, but it's also important to think about when it comes to our faith and working on our faith so that we have something there. That at the end, we have something to hold on to that we can actually grasp and say, this is my faith. This is what took me through. This is what's important. So that scripture is about hard work. But growing our faith takes time. And it takes hard work. And a lot of times, I don't think that we really take that serious. We don't realize that it's like a daily thing. You know, I think it was really a gift that God gives us this new day every day. Because we all know that we've failed from time to time. I mean, I know myself, I have had a day where I did not think about my faith. I was just busy, working, you know, not doing what I need to, not really thinking about how good God is in my life and how I need to, like, serve Him and reach others. But thankfully, what He does, He says, that was one day. Put that aside. Tomorrow you have a gift of a new day. See, He gives us so many opportunities. The problem is when we waste all those days and then we get done and we think, wow, there's nothing here now. I have nothing to hold on to. You know, I think a lot of times we think that God's going to do the work. You know, that we think that, you know what, I have faith and God will work on my heart. But see, God is so good that He doesn't just do that on His own. He says, you have a part in this. You have a part in this whole thing that you have to work alongside me. That it's not just going to be do things for you and you be changed, but you have to start to change yourself. And then He grows us bit by bit every day. And I think that surprises us sometimes, because I think some people really just think it's going to happen through osmosis. This idea that you're going to come to church and you're just going to absorb everything and you're going to walk out different people. Or maybe, you know, you're going to read your Bible once and think, wow, that made all the difference. But see, it doesn't work that way. He says it takes a little bit of work every day. Every day work on your faith until one day you have something you can build on. You have something that's been built and you can grow on and you can have showing to people around you and they think, wow, there's something different. There's something different about you. But the thing is, you know what? You want to harvest, you have to plant, right? This year, I planted tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, jalapenos, peas, carrots, radishes. But I didn't plant corn, and I didn't plant broccoli. Now, I would be really stupid, wouldn't I, if I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go out to that garden one day, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to get some corn. Because there is no corn. I didn't plant corn. So we have to understand what it is that you plant in your life is what you're going to harvest. If you plant making money, you're going to have money. Doesn't mean you're going to have God. If you're going to plant having fun all the time and going out and just having the experiences of your life, you're going to be able to look back on a lot of experiences, maybe a lot of great vacations, maybe a lot of great times with friends. But at the end, that's what you're going to harvest. That's your memory. You're not going to have anything more than that. So if you are concerned about your faith, we have to be concerned about what it is that we're actually planting. So if you want to have more faith, if you want to have those things, you have to seek them out. You have to plant them in your heart. You have to do those things. When you come in here, we have to worship. We have to reach out to God, because the more we reach out to Him, the more He reaches down and touches us. That's why worship is so important. We have to praise Him when we sing those words. It can't just be words. It has to be meaning behind them. We have to think about what we're planting in our hearts when we say, God, I seek You more than anything. Do we? Or are we just saying that? See, the thing is, if we do that, that's something we can reap later. If you need encouragement, you have to look for it. If you want to be encouraged, you have to read the Bible yourself, and you have to read these stories where God came through in miracles for people, where sometimes what you need is just a good slap over the head sometimes. You know, when you read the Bible and you see something that happened because someone made a dumb choice, you think, yeah, I need to be encouraged not to do that. That's what we grow from. That's why we're changed. We actually have to ask Him for help every day. Because when we ask for that help every day, we're going to get to the end of all the days, and we're going to have something to look back on, that we're going to have something that we've harvested in ourselves. Luke 8, 14 and 15 says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. I think so many of us are so guilty of that. I think it's so easy, isn't it, to get tripped up by the world, all the pleasures, to go for riches. You know, the thing is, it says here, and they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. There's so many key words in that scripture when you think about it, clinging to it, impatient, patiently producing a huge harvest. It's not going to happen right away. I can tell you, the person I am now, man, I thought I knew something years ago when I first started following after Jesus. You realize that you know nothing. He teaches us something new every day. Every day. There's a new lesson to be learned. And you have to be patiently producing something in your life. And I think it's so good that God uses that. You know, He talked to those people in those days because they were farmers. It's important for us in North Central Illinois to understand this is what all of us can understand, because we see those fields, don't we? You see them in the middle of winter all bumpy and beat up because they're either till or no till and the ground is all hard. And then you watch the summer start to come in and them plow up that ground, them plant the seeds, and it's always that exciting little moment. Maybe you guys don't get excited. I get excited. I'm telling you, I get excited when I start seeing those little green sprouts. And you see them in the rows coming up. And then you'd have that knee high by the 4th of July, and you start to see that, you know, that corn getting up there, and you're thinking, wow, this is exciting, and you're watching it grow. That's what's exciting. That's that sowing and the reaping that He talks about. It's so important. That he talks about is so relatable to where we live. So we can't reap what we don't sow. Also, we can't reap what we don't work at. Understand, what you plant is important, but what you work at is just as important. I know with me, man, it takes watering, it takes weeding, it takes fertilizing, protecting what you're planting to reap a good harvest. You know, if you just plant the seeds and then you let it go, you do nothing, the weeds, the bugs, the animals, all of them are going to take over, and you're going to reap very little, if nothing. I'm going to tell you, this year we have had to fight Japanese beetles all the time, trying to destroy my redbud tree, my cute little lime tree that I have there. It's lime colored. It's not a lime tree. If I could grow a lime tree, I would have one, because of the fact that that would be great, wouldn't it, to live down south and be able to have lemons and limes outside? That'd be like so awesome. We've also had to fight moles. Those are ugly little creatures, aren't they? There's like no eyes, all claws and nose are just disgusting. Poor John's out there trying to get them moles all the time. Bunnies, which are so cute, and you hate to hate the bunnies, but you're like, get out of my garden. I don't want you in there. All the enemies that are the good heart that would destroy the good harvest. We had to run drip line to water all the plants. Years ago, we used to always water it all. John's been amazing. He's helped me put in drip line in all my landscape and my garden. And it's amazing because at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, it's all watered. It's fabulous. Then I have to spend time pulling weeds because I'm telling you, it doesn't take much. You just turn your head and I swear to God, a weed is already grown that quick. Man, they choke out the vegetables and the flowers if you're not pulling them all the time. I mean, you can literally walk out in your yard. I do this every day. I walk out in my yard every day and pull little weeds. Tell you, that will preach in itself. You pull little weeds every day in your life, you don't have a lot of work later on. See, I go out there and I pull those little weeds. I go out there and look and see how many moles have just started to destroy my yard and poke them all down and pray that they die. A good long life. I want them to live, but just go live somewhere else, not my yard. Go to my neighbors. What's wrong with you? But you know, the thing is, we have to remember that we have to protect what it is that we plant. What are you planting in your heart? Are you protecting it? Are you guarding it? Are you caring for it? Are you taking out those weeds? Are you looking at the distractions of things that are trying to take you down and take you out? The bunnies, the people, the moles. I'm sure you have some moles in your life that are bad. They're coming for you, man. They're destroying everything that you're planting. They're trying to dig up, and they're trying to get all them good grubs. It's important for us to take care of what it is that we plant. You have to protect those things in your own faith. There's always going to be pests trying to take you down. Always in your faith. Things that I thought I was over years ago, I'm going to tell you, just about the time you think you got something nipped, and it's gone, and you're never going to struggle with that again, God a lot of times will take you around that bed and show you didn't quite get that figured out yet. You have to watch for this, too. Because you thought you had that mastered, and then you realize, maybe I still need to go back and work on that, too. There's always going to be pests. There's always going to be distractions along the way. You're going to have to chase them away. You're going to even have to kill them. You're going to have to kill them. You might think, no, I don't want to kill these friendships, or I don't want to kill these relationships that I like. They're good. They're fun. But God will tell you a lot of times, like, kill that friendship. It's actually a danger to you. It's not going to help you grow, and it's not going to get you to the harvest that you want. It's something that you have to get rid of. You're going to have to keep pulling and pulling and pulling those weeds, those distractions away. And you can't quit. You can't quit. You got to keep working. If you think you get to the point where it's going to be lull time, you're just going to just chill and relax and it's just going to take care of itself, I will tell you, that's when the enemy pounces many times. When he sees that you've kind of given up and you're like, no, I'm just going to live my life. You know, Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up, I hope this motivates you today to think, yes, I need to work on who I am. When I say I'm a follower of God, I need to work on that. Help me, God, to grow in my faith, to be challenged, not to think I made it in any way, because none of us do until we reach Jesus. That's when we made it. None of us have gotten so much Bible knowledge that we don't ever have to read again. I want you to understand, he'll highlight something new where you think that you're like, I know this scripture, and he's going to say, yeah, but did you know it this way? There's things that you're going to see something, and you're going to think, wow, I'm a failure. I really need Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's happened to me many a times. When it talks about patient endurance, good Lord, Deb Graper needs help. I am not as patient as I should be. Ask my husband. That's why he wants to get away. I'm telling you. You know, you can get to 39 years of marriage and just be honest about each other, right? I know I'm not patient, and I don't endure much. I want to have things quicker than I should. But you know, the thing is, we have to understand that we cannot waste time in this growing season. We can't. I think the saddest thing of all would get to be the harvest and have nothing to show for it. Nothing to show in your own life, the battles you won in your faith, the growth that you've made, to look back and think, yeah, I remember when I believed this, and now I believe this because he showed me how real he is. But then also to look at your family and friends and think, wow, they're on the right path because I showed them the right path, because I lived it. I wasn't just saying it, but I lived it. I planted those seeds, and they were growing, and I weeded, and I took care of my faith, and they saw me being faithful. And they think, yeah, I want that too. My life could be different. Won't that be an amazing thing to think that you can get to heaven, like I said at the beginning, that you can get up there and you can see your family and friends? God welcoming us in because we actually sowed what we're supposed to and we reaped what we're supposed to? That's going to be an amazing experience. When you sing that part where the Father is welcoming and children are laughing and dancing and singing, I mean, isn't that amazing when you think of how it's going to be? Don't you hope for that? Man, I do. When I think about us here worshiping like we do and think how it's going to be up there, it's going to be an amazing experience. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Care about the harvest, but work on your faith. Be working on your growing. Don't waste this time. I think in this world, everybody wants everything right now, don't they? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but even fast food is not fast anymore. It's not. Oh my God, the other day I went to McDonald's and I just got a cheeseburger and I thought, how long is this cheeseburger going to take? Isn't there some frozen patties back there you could throw on the grill for me? I mean, they're good. It was just crazy. I waited and waited and waited forever and I thought, wow, it was just because of those extra onion? Someone had to cut it, hurry up and slice up some onion for me? I don't know what it was, but I was like, good Lord. That was craziness. But you know, everything's not fast enough for us. We live in this season, we want everything right now. Right now. Thing is, it's going to take some time. Things don't happen right now. When I think about like me coming to God and working on my faith, I'm thinking, like I said, it's taken me a long time. And I'm nowhere near where I still need to be, you know? You know, the thing is, it takes 120 days to grow carrots from seed. Did you know that? 120 days. So I'd be really silly if I went out and planted the seeds and thought I was going to eat them within like 5-6 days, right? It's not going to work. It takes some time. Just like your life. Some things are going to take time. And in gardening terms, I'm going to tell you, understand this. Some fertilizer is going to be needed to help you grow, right? Some fertilizer. You guys know what fertilizer is, right? It's going to stink when it happens to you. When some fertilizer happens in your life and you're going to be tempted to give up and think, no, I don't know. This is getting tough. I want to understand. Fertilizer, it's what's needed sometimes to get you to change. Maybe sometimes those tough things that you go through in your life are exactly what you need to get your eyes back on him. You know, maybe that bad relationship, it hurts, and it's definitely fertilizer. But maybe it's actually going to grow you into the person that you needed to be eventually. Maybe those deep past hurts that you went through as a child, and you think, man, that was not a good childhood. Maybe that childhood was exactly what you needed to become the person that you are today. You know what? God gives us what we need. A lot of times it's not what we want, and we'd like to all skip through those bad things. But a lot of times it's those bad things, those things that we go through that actually help us to become the people that we need to be, to reach others in the future. Like I said, fertilizer is going to happen. That's a good way to say it, right? Because you guys know the other way. Fertilizer is going to happen. But in the long run, I promise you, it's going to help you grow into the person that you need to be. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." Understand, this is not something you just did when you accept Jesus as your Savior. It's just the starting line. You must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. If some of you out there, I'm sure you're like me, praise Jesus for the things he's done already in my life. I overflow with thankfulness. When I look at my kids and I look at my grandkids, I think, how good are you, God, what you've given me? Remember that. When you look at the things that God's given you, don't just look at them and think, I did that. I did that. I worked hard. I got that. Understand it's because he gifted you with that. He gifted you with the opportunity to have those things. If you've been blessed, thank him for that. Overflow with thankfulness. You know, every single year when I plant my garden, it's hilarious because every year I think, I'm going to plant less because every year I'm surprised by how much produces. You know, I used to years ago put like 6-8 tomato plants in, and I'm thinking, no, I don't need that many tomatoes. John doesn't even like tomatoes. So I plant still 4 this year. And then cucumbers, I used to plant a whole bunch, and I thought, no, I'm just only doing 2. That's it. That's all I'm going to do because I'm always surprised how much it produces. And usually I'm here in room 5, I'm bringing stuff, you know, here, take this from me. You guys, you know, I'm giving it away. I want you to understand in your faith it's going to be the same way. What you plant, you are going to reap. And when you work on it, you are going to reap much, much more than you ever thought you would. It's going to be way more overflowing. You know, the thing is, what you thought you were planting was one little thing, it's going to produce this harvest that's going to be huge. And you're going to have so much to offer to everyone. You know what's going to be amazing? When you have that showing up in your life, all that good produce, all the different things that's produced out of your faith, you're going to be so excited to share it with others. Just like I am. I'm excited to bring my extra tomatoes. I'm excited to bring my cucumbers and my peppers and my jalapenos. Look at here. This came out of my garden. This is amazing. And I can't wait to share it. Understand yourselves and your heart. That's what you need to do with your own faith. What's produced there, you're going to want to share it. You're going to want to give it to others because you're going to say, look how good God's been to me. When you sow into your spiritual life and you maintain it, God's going to increase it and he's going to grow it far beyond your expectations. Because he's just that good. He really is. He's just that good. John 15:8 says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." That's the whole message, isn't it? We accept it. We plant in our hearts. We grow things. We give it to others. We share it. They do the same. Till ultimately we have this amazing harvest that we have that we reaped. Let me pray for you. God, you are just amazing, and you are that good. I know a lot of us have gone through tough times, and maybe we're sitting in that season right now where times are tough, that we are struggling and we are lost. We feel like we can't go on. I just pray for those people right now that feel that. I pray that you minister to their hearts, Lord. I pray that right now you'd rush in and they'd feel you like never before. I just pray for us who are just plodding along, trying to work on our faith. I pray that you just give us this boost of energy, this extra fertilizer, Lord God, that you're going to throw upon us to help us to grow into the people that we need to be. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord God, to look at the people around us. Help us to share the good news and the goodness that we have in our own lives with others so that they too can reach you and be harvested in your kingdom. We just thank you, Father, for all the good you're going to do in our lives. We praise you and we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.